I do not.
Welcome back to the Ones Ready podcast. That's right. I didn't even tell Aaron that I hit record. You just didn't knee deep in your phone and no idea what we're going to talk about. How about that?
I'm in. Yeah, no, you got me. You hit me with the shame hammer there, buddy. I was like, just looking at my phone. You're like, oh, what do you want to talk about? I was like, I don't know. And I looked up and we were recording and here we go. Good morning.
That's right. Good morning, everyone. Happy to have you here. Happy that you joined us. Happy that you actually go by onesready.com and check out some of the merch, especially because we got new cones and quitter shirts and I think slaps dropping as well. But definitely cones and quitter shirts for sure.
Love the cones and quitter shirts. I love that that is just a dumb thing that I think Trent started saying. All right, Listen up, cones and quitters.
Well, I showed it to my wife today, this morning, going like, hey, got one of these coming in for you. And she's like, I don't get it.
What is it? What even is that?
She goes, okay, obviously I get what quitters are, but what's cones?
It's everybody else in the pipeline, baby. You know what's funny is like a thing that I just don't care about anymore is people that are like, oh, I was a PJ, and it turns out they weren't a PJ way back in the day. I used to care about that a lot. I used to be like, oh, you MF. Oh my God. How to string him up. You should be beaten in public, you POS. Now I get like Stolen Valor. Stolen Valor is terrible. It's a whole law. It's a whole charge. I get it, man. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be a liar. You shouldn't lie to people. Okay. Like just be a good person. Don't tell people you did stuff you didn't do. But anyway, I've chilled out on it so much. Now I just don't even care. Like there's these conversations about like, oh, we found out this dude was claiming PJ on a Facebook page and on a podcast and he wasn't. All right. I don't care. That sucks. That sucks for that dude.
I guess the only time that I care about that is when somebody's applying for a job someplace. Like I think the last one I had was somebody was applying for a Department of Energy or something like that. He's saying that he went on multiple deployments and he was a controller and did this for a name check.
Right.
Okay. Name check, whatever. Hey man, turns out he wasn't. Hire him if you want, like whatever. Right. I'm just saying turns out that he wasn't.
Do whatever you want with that information.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said about character and integrity and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know.
Right. There's also something to be said with it's okay to call yourself a cone at any time in the pipeline. Congratulations, everybody that's out there right now. You're either a cone or a quitter. So congratulations. Go get a shirt. We put you into two little sections there. You're a cone or you're a quitter. So which one are you? What's up? I dig it. Yeah.
Guess I could still be a cone then. Cool.
Exactly. Well, that's, man, you want to get all deep on it and try to make ourselves sound smart on a Mill Bro podcast? Let's talk about like the stoicism of, you know, if you're always a cone, you're always learning, you know, it's that white belt mindset, you know, real student, day one subject matter enthusiast. We're out here carrying goats. Currying goats. I do love. I did actually have a good curry the other day, and I think about you all the time. Anytime Dude. Somebody says who's going to carry the boats, I think curry the goats, and then I think of you and your curry the goat story. It makes me laugh.
Curried goat, it's good. If you guys haven't had it, it's good. Yeah. So for the folks out there, we legitimately didn't know what we were going to talk about here, which is pretty funny because we had a guest no show, but. One of the things, this would be good for Trent too, but I think that you and I have got enough deployments between us that we could actually talk about it. Even from an aspect of, so there's deployments for folks that like us within the Air Force Special Warfare, and we don't follow, cause we have everything internal to the squadron. So, you know, we have our unit deployment managers and they keep our folders and everything like that. And in those folders are all the kind of information that you would need to rip out the door really quick. You know, it's got all your vaccine records. It's got your emergency data. It's got your extra dog tags in it. It's got all that kind of stuff, right? So that you could literally just rip out the door without that. And then people have that kind of information, you know, your closest contact in some case something bad happens, that kind of stuff. But that is us. And that is us on the kind of soft side of the house and the, rescue side of the house. But what the rest of the Air Force does is not like that. They know kidding. And sometimes we have to play those games as well. just because maybe. I love
deployment lines. Oh, right. I love deployment lines so much. A good old bag drag, buddy. Count me in. You can't get me down at all during a deployment line. I will say it will be 10 hours of your day. You will sit there. There will be nothing to do. There will be no explanation. There will be no update of when the next station is going to start or why you're still at the station you're at. You will have to do NBC at one point. There's no reason why. You just have to. Just what's throw NBC? The gas mask on. It's NBC, baby. We got to get ready. We're going to Iraq looking for WMDs, baby. Woo! We going early GWAT, baby. We going to Decrit. You want to go to that triangle, baby? We hitting them hitters. Downtown Euphrates joints.
Oh, man. But
yeah.
So I know that we don't need to talk about deployment lines, especially because we have done them and that kind of stuff. But what I would like to talk about is the pre to the deployment line, because the deployment line or ripping out doors, right? Like, okay, you're heading out.
Yeah. But like all the spin up to deployment, like training right. to a deployment. Yeah.
Right. So what does that look like from a operational and a training aspect? And what does it also look like from a home life?
Like what, yeah. So I think
these considerations, because a lot of people overlook that and you think, well, yeah, man, you're ripping out the door. Okay. If I'm in
an, but that's a long kind of, time. It's a long time leaving. Like it's not, everything isn't there. Granted, there is some alert stuff where you're gone. You know, we have a pararescue has maintained a 72-hour commitment forever. There's a team somewhere in the world right now that if a flag goes up, that team's gone in 72 hours worldwide. Like we do that all, like that's a thing. It's what happened at HKIA. You know, we do this all the time. Like people blow out and go respond Hatter, you know, ST responds to Hatters with PJs and PJs, mm-hmm. you know, there's all kinds of other missions that the rescue side does and, you know, kudos to them. That's not even touching the Alaska stuff, but, point being like there is a slow burn to some deployment. Like, you know, when you're on a cycle and especially ST finally has it locked down and now everybody's on the, you know, the F4 gen cycle of regenerating forces and getting them the training that they need and then actually getting them out the door. Well, you know, to speak about this, if we put it into quarters, right? And it's not, we're just going to call four quarters of whatever. There's five phases of training. It's over 24 months now, whatever. Everybody aligned, but it's nerdy. So we'll call it like the third quarter. Fourth quarter is your deployment. You're actually leaving and going out the door. But that third quarter, man, it comes with a whole host of challenges, right? So from a training aspect, this is where you're supposed to be tip top, right? All of your dudes have gone to their schools. They've done, you know, the one-off, you know, ALS or somebody had to go and do a senior NCO course or they had to do something. So the team mm-hmm. breaks, you know, go to jump master school, go to sniper school, go to, you know, they had to go test so they had to study for a couple of weeks or, you know, maybe they got an injury or they decided to have a surgery, whatever. All that stuff's behind you. You guys are working as a team. You're doing advanced stuff. You've got your free fall stuff usually behind you. Usually you've got your free fall level one spin up. Done. If you're a jump team, if not, you have a specific function. Like if you're doing, you know, air to ground integration stuff, or if you're going, you know, to do some of our different mission sets, global access, maybe you train specifically to that, but you guys are humming. You're working with other people at this point. You're working with other teams that are going to go in the same area that you are. You're starting to you know, you're talking to people downrange. You know, we were talking to folks every week via VTC, mm-hmm. you know, hey, how's things going? What projects are you working? So that they could really like hand it over to us and keep going so that you didn't have to start over. But all of that stuff is laid in and you're getting yourself ready to go. So it usually means really, really long days. It usually means you guys are, you feel good and you're in your stride, but it is, it's, you're showing up early, early as shit to PT, you know, early to get to the gym, crushing that gym workout. So you're done by 7 o'clock because you have VTCs that start at seven and meetings that start at seven. And man, you go from there. And I will say from that aspect of it, it does take a toll on your family in that area. I don't know if you had felt the same thing there, but this is where I feel the most stressed. Like getting ready to go deploy, usually all it is like, just get me on the plane.
Yeah.
Get me in my little hammock on the plane, flying over. Let me take a little snooze and wake up somewhere in Europe and then take another snooze and wake up whatever continent we're going to this time. And let me figure out what we're doing. You know, for the deployment, like you just want to get to that zone. But that zone just before that, you're like, oh, dang it, man. Like you're half in, half out.
Yeah. It is a pressure buildup because you're like, you know, you're wanting to make sure that all your training is complete. If you're in some kind of leadership role, you're really hoping that you did everything you possibly could to make sure that everybody was trained and ready to go and that there's no deficiencies. There's the home aspect where, you know, if you've got a wife, kids, or you know, a husband or whatever, and you're wanting to maximize time with them, but you're still, you know, because you know that you're about to leave them for, you know, the better part of a year. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, you're getting those pressures. You got to hit, you know, you want to hit those basketball games, or those wrestling tournaments, or just spend time and go out, take a family out to dinner, or go out on a date night. You're trying to pack all of that in, and you're getting pulled in so many different directions. And you're just like, the build up. And then, dude, just get me out the door.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not just from our aspect either. It's also the families. They're not ready for you to go, but it's that kind of like, all right, you're just stringing me along. And then, hey, guess what? The bird breaks. So now you're back home. And now you got to say all the goodbyes again.
Oh, the worst. The worst.
Plane breaks again. Or, you know, maybe not even a plane break. Maybe the tip fit or whatever. It slipped. Hey, we slipped 2 weeks.
Sure.
Or we slipped a couple of days. And you're like, dude.
You get delayed because of a worldwide virus that is supposed to be treated like the flu, but it shut everything down and it pushed people back weeks and months in deployed locations.
Dude,
people were stranded on the road. Imagine not even, it's one thing to be stranded wherever you're going, your deployed location, right? There's, you know, or waiting at home. There's, you know, maybe it's like some weird in between, you know, thing at home where you're waiting on a plane, or just like you said, something fell out. So you're like half in, half out your house or your deployed location. People got hemmed up in the middle of that process. Mm-hmm. They're just at like random Air Force Inns in McGuire. Just like, oh yeah, I've been here for a month. Like we're allowed outside. Like my boys went to support Hawaii, and there was this weird restriction where they had to be like isolated from everybody else. And they were allowed to essentially go outside for like 3 hours a day to work out or something. It was like prison.
But I mean, hours a day. That's bad. 3 hour workouts out in Hawaii. I mean,
you don't need that much time getting a tan on, but
no, exactly. But I mean, dude, it's just,
yeah,
but that's just the way it is. And I mean, some of those boys that were deployed, and when all that happened, ended up getting extended.
I can't imagine.
And they were because that was my unit, if right. I remember right, the guys that I had just left, and they were, I think, 2 weeks away from going home. So they had already done a complete rotation, and they were 2 weeks
away
from home.
Everything that you don't need packed at that point, everything's already, like, you're ready to start pulling some for real triggers on, like, get me the guy. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
hey, we got a whatever cruise planned. We got you know, whatever.
Oh, the worst. Yeah. We did this thing, you know, for the longest time with my kids growing up, is we never told them when I was coming home. It was never a thing. There was never a homecoming parade thing. Like, there was never the, hey, let's all meet, you know, the families down the flight line. And I'm not poo-pooing it, by the way. I saw, like, some of those, it looked pretty cool that the bros do, like, when the kids are on the flight line and the guys get home. Like, that's pretty cool. But I just, it was never a thing that we ever did for that reason exactly.
Mm-hmm.
For that reason exactly, because stuff happens, man. Like, I can't tell you when I'm going to, I wouldn't even tell them I'm going to be home. Like, when I would be in America, I wouldn't even tell them that I was home and that I would be to the house at any time. I would just show up at the house. You just show up at the house when you're done. Because then you get to the squadron, you're like, people are there and beers start happening. And you're like, well, you do have to like do this minor amount of in processing and get this stuff done. You're like, all right, fine. Like, do this CBT and you won't have to come in for a week. And you're like, all right, whatever. And then you're drinking and then shit happens. Anyway.
No, it
personal doesn't. Experience. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Anyway, but that's to say, like, you end up spending a lot of time trying to cram that life in prior to going. That's what got us on this tangent. And we were talking about COVID restrictions and being downrange and all the challenges that come with that stuff. But those are all started, like, and you can see it coming in the third phase too. Like, you get a little bit better at the process. So you start getting ahead of stuff that really bit you, you know, before. Like, it sounds morbid, but wills, powers of attorney, making sure you know, because there's, you know, you have to do a bunch of special stuff to actually have your spouse do anything, sell a car, you know, do finances in your name, yada yada yada. Like, it takes some setting up, and the third, like, and it takes some time as well, because you got to get with legal and all this other stuff. So you should be doing that really in this kind of like third quarter, getting ready to go to deployment area, getting all that locked down.
Yeah, I mean, it's everything from wills, but it's also making sure that you know, whoever you're leaving it with has got all the username and passwords to, the accounts and that kind of stuff, because you got to plan for the worst. You got to plan for maybe there's a time where the Wi-Fi, you know, it's blackout comms downrange because something happened and, you know, she needs to be able to do something. You know, it's sometimes it's a lot of little things that you don't even think about. And you're like, oh man, I'm way behind. I'm like not setting her up for success or anything like that.
Yeah.
On the flip side, if you're a single dude, maybe, I mean, when I got back,
you better have the kill switch to your hard drive, dog, protect that legacy.
Yeah.
You better have somebody that you trust be able to hit that delete button, dude.
Yeah.
You don't want your search history getting out there, my guy.
No, never.
That's an awkward funeral amongst the bros, you know, like, oh, he's a foot dude. Gross. Yeah.
He really likes feet. Oh, it's weird.
God, nothing but disgusts me.
I was the dude on the couch for we got back from Afghanistan, and we were waiting to go into Iraq. This is for the initial invasion, and they said it was going to be a quick turn. It ended up being we were back for a month, but I had already moved out of the house before leaving Afghanistan.
Oh, nice.
So I was homeless.
Classic. And then nowhere to live. Yeah. Classic. Yeah,
How's this not going to work out? Yeah. Which I'm still glad I did.
I'm the smartest guy. Like, nobody's ever thought of this, to move out beforehand and save money on rent when they were deployed. No, I'll be gone forever. No,
let's talk about that. What does that look like?
What is what?
Moving out. Like, what I mean is, for the folks out there, like, dude, you, if you're a single dude and you want to save some money, you have the option to move out of your house. If you can not break your lease, because then you got to pay money for that. But if your lease happens to run up, dude, find somebody on the couch. Whether it's a cheap Airbnb or go stay at somebody's house. Just be the dude on the couch, put your stuff in storage, and then rip out the door on a deployment. You'll save 6-7 months worth of rent.
Do you know how many dudes were doing that back in the day?
All of us, everybody.
Nobody had it. It was like crash pads everywhere. You just feel like three dudes. You just be like, oh no, it's just sort of like a team house. Dudes just kind of like flow in here and live for a little bit, and then they like end up getting a place on their own or whatever. Oh, that used to happen all the time. Guys used to just be nomads, throw their stuff in storage unit, and then go, you know, stay at a friend's house, stay here and there. And like, oh man.
But that was when, you know, I mean, dudes are still on the road a lot now, but that was when we were, it was deployment, come back, train, deployment. And it was just, you know, that's kind of the way it was. And it made sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So I always just, it was hilarious to watch that happen. The young man. Roving bands of warriors, man, like just masterless warriors, just Ronin, just roaming around.
Masterless warriors,
just saving money from on the deployment, like hilarious. Yeah. But you're trying, so you know, back to what we're for real talk about is like you're trying to get all that stuff in line, and it is a crazy thing. Just think in your day as you pick up your phone to do 2 million things, as you pick it up to look at your bank balance, or you pick it up to check your crypto. What's up? Ship to the moon. Ship's pumping right now. Let's go. As you look at that, like just imagine somebody else having to do that for you to get that money out of that account for you. Like if you are incapacitated and you don't have that set up, like just think about all the things that you do during a day, and that's what you have to start thinking about here. And then, you know, great point of like putting life into it. You know, trying to live that life. Like you're gonna miss holidays. You're going to whatever. One of my favorite things that we ever did, and we started doing it at the 321st, is we would have a combined party because we were always on a cycle that made us miss the holidays. Like, you know, Halloween, really, you know, Halloween through New Year's. So we would have a Halloween through New Year's party. So everybody would show up in a costume. We would have a Thanksgiving dinner. We would have Christmas. So we would have like a gift exchange. You could come in like ugly sweaters if you wanted to, or a Halloween costume. Like J-Mac came dressed as Captain America. He had like a full set, you know, one of those suits that kids wear that have the muscles on it. J-Mac had like an extra large kids and it fit him. So he was just running around dressed as Captain America with extra muscles on. If you can imagine that.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. We had a countdown to midnight. So that was tight. but you have to make those things up. You know, my kids, when we were younger, we made up a holiday that we would do every September, because September was right about that time that we were like, hey, you know, now's the window where if they pull us early, you know, it could be now, or if we go on time, it's still going to be, you know, we need to start thinking about it. But we made up our own holiday in September that we would do every year, because we were the Christmas troop in Vegas. So we deployed 3 Christmases in a row. So it was like every year, like clockwork, I was out the door, you know, before, you know, September timeframe. And then I'd get home in like February, where I was like actually home. But that was the rotation, one troop for 3 years straight. I think they did one more. I think they got one more rotation out of it for the 4th year straight. But yeah.
Man. Yeah. That's
and that was rowdy. But that's what you're talking about too, is like, you know, there's ways to get around it to make your life easier. And one of the things that we were talking before we got on here, is like, if you deploy with the same people and you're on the same team, when you get back, there's a lot of like, you know, team dynamic stuff that you go through when you're getting ready for deployment. Like everybody, you know, learn stuff about each other. You start gelling as a team. There's going to be some friction and some conflict when you figure out the hierarchies, then everybody figures it out and you're fine. And you go on with life. Right. Well, you don't have to do that with the guy you deployed with. Like, you just spent 5-6 months with a dude separated by a piece of plywood in a tent, you know, thinking you're going to die every day when you go take a poop, because you're taking incoming like every day. Like, you don't have, there's, you know, more about that guy than, you know, everybody in his life, you know, maybe even his wife, depending on how long they've been together. Like, you're with that dude all the time. So when you get back, you just basically get right back into it. You don't have to do all those first phases. You're just like, oh man, how was your leave? Oh, tight. I went on a cruise. Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I saw the pics. That was dope, dude. That was a family. Good. Okay, tight. And then you go off and you get ready for your next deployment. Like, you can speak in shorthand at that point and just go on with it. So you do get some time back there, and the families do get close. And this is usually the time too, when the wives and the families are starting to like coalesce and like figure out what they're going to do when they're gone. Like, the group chat starts popping for the spouse and the support side, for sure. And they're getting ready to go. The support when you're gone is going to be huge, especially if you need stay. I mean, it sounds stupid, but you know, what if there's a storm and you can't drive in the ice and you're pregnant and you need milk? Like, that is a real story that some operator stopped what he was doing at the unit and went and got milk for one of the wives, because she was basically stuck at the house and she couldn't get out.
Or hurricane, you know, hurricane evacuation or something like that. If you happen to be on the panhandle, you know, it just happens, you know. There's no getting around it. It's the whole point is you're supporting each other. So just like as a team, as operators, we support each other. Like, the families have got to support each other, or the remaining operators that are back home that maybe they're new to the unit, or they weren't on this push out the door, but they're on the later push. Like, hey man, guess what? You're in the hopper right now.
You're up, baby.
If that leak happens at the house, or somebody's car breaks down, like, you're on the hook. You're not off alert, buddy. You're on it.
You ain't off. Yeah. Stay behind. Home troop does not get absolved of all the work. You get the Charlie work. So
especially because, you know, if there's a plumbing issue or a freaking car breakdown, okay, who am I gonna call? Who's my wife gonna call? They're not gonna call, you know, a tow company. They're gonna go, hey, you know,
give me some knuckleheads.
I broke down off of I-5.
How many dudes are sitting around in their PT gear, bullshitting, looking at memes in the team rooms right now? At least one. Go find me that guy.
Yeah,
I don't know how many right now. I don't know how many it is, but I guarantee it's at least one. What time is it? 10:30. Oh yeah, those dudes are done working out. Talk about where we're going for lunch. Come on, that's a good training day right there. Get yourself some sunshine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's all the stuff that goes into kind of that third thing. I'm about to cough my head off. So
that's all right. I'll talk about it real quick. But one of the things that you got to make sure that you're prepping for, and this is super easy and you should already have this done anyway, is making sure that all of your bills and everything are auto draft and that kind of stuff, because last thing you need is to have to go and, you know, go online and pay a bill. And why would you leave that to whoever you're leaving behind anyway? Or if you're single, just have it on auto draft and then boom, it's done. And just like we kind of alluded to, is your vehicle. Like, you got to leave your vehicle. Yeah. What are you going to do with it? You going to leave it at the squadron? Okay, that's fine. You can leave it there. You're going to leave it at the house? That's cool too. But man, you better have somebody who's going to drive that thing around occasionally, or leave it on a trickle charger, because your chances of your tires being bad or dry rotted or your battery being dead is likely. I can't tell you how many times, especially at the 2.2, because you got that cold weather that zaps it, and that it, the engines never get turned or rarely get turned, or somebody forgets because they're also going TDY. So you're leaving all your keys for the dudes to go, hey, go drive my truck around or whatever. Mm-hmm.
And funny enough, that's the lunch vehicles, dude. That just goes by the front door of the team room. You're like, whose car am I taking today?
Yeah, exactly. Got all these keys.
You're just out in the parking lot, so you don't even necessarily know. You're just like, boop, boop, boop. Oh, okay, I got you. Yeah, what's up? I used to leave my keys. I did that all the time at the unit. I've never had a car that I done. If I'm at the unit and I was working, I would just leave my keys in my truck. Like anything. It was in my Jeep for a long time, and then when I moved over to the Civic, and then now the Cherokee that I have now or whatever. Yeah. But I always would just leave my keys there. People are like, why do you do that? I'm like, well, if somebody needs it, first of all, they can just grab it and go run their errand or do the, whatever they want to do. But if somebody needs to move it or whatever, I'm going to be in this vault with no windows and no cell phone. You're not going to be able to get a hold of me anyway. Yep. So if you need to move it or something's happening, or if you need something, like, just go take it and make sure to leave it. You know, like, don't lock my keys in my truck. Call it good.
Yeah. I mean, I would always leave my keys in the car and leave it unlocked. It's on base, dude.
Nothing's going to happen. Yeah. Can I just say for a second, too, this is just a me and you thing. Nothing ever annoyed me more than the time that I had your Tesla up here in the PNW over that winter. Oh, my dude. Every third day, I'd have to. The only turbocharger was in Auburn. So it's like a 30-minute drive-ish from Graham, where we were living.
Yeah, I'd be
on my phone.
You a bottle of whiskey for that.
I'd be on my phone and I'd be watching the Tesla. And I'd just be like, oh my God, I need 30% to just drive up there to charge to get home. And then it's only 80%. And every time it goes down, it's like I would just watch it like tick off because it was cold. Like the cold was just sapping the battery. And I was just like, oh my fucking peaches, God dang. Oh man.
See, that's not so none of that impacts anything as long as you have a charger at the house.
Yeah.
If you have a charger at house, that is not a factor whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, you wake up in the morning and you're always on full.
Right.
You know, you never have to go to the gas station. But if you're in a situation like that, yeah, it's unfortunate. Yeah, I probably should have
given you a bottle. It got me. It got me good. Whiskey. I do not care. It was fine. I just laughed too. I'd laughed. We would just take the trip. I'd be like sitting there watching Netflix while charger just nodding people, hey, what's up?
What's up, man?
what's up, bro? Good ramen spot up there. Anyway.
Ooh, I do like some ramen.
Oh, that's
you know what else I like? I like Hoist.
I love Hoist. I love Hoist. Veteran Hoist. At Blaze Horns, that collabo with Realtree, which is a dope brand as well. But yeah, so really, really
speaking
good.
Of which, you know how I told you last week that I asked Wyatt to leave me some?
None. Gone.
None.
Get out of here. It doesn't last over here either. The love household, you better forget about it. That Hoist is going down ASAP.
Appreciate it.
I know.
appreciate that.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Come back from a trip, but I got nothing.
Didn't even leave you a one. Didn't even give you the bro deal of, you know what I'm going to do, Dad? I'm not going to drink your last one. I'm going to leave the last one here, but that's how
luckily,
good it is.
I already had this one on the desk, and it was already open. He's not going to grab that one. So.
I have no deck. Hey, I licked this one. Start writing on it. Do not drink.
Yeah, don't drink. This has got a J written on it. Drink Hoist.com, promo code One's Ready, get yourself a discount. You can also go grab them from commissaries and HEBs and Kroger's and all that kind of stuff.
You can find them everywhere now. It's good. Every time I walk around in a new store and I see a good Hoist display, I'm like, yeah, it's my boys will.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed.
That deployment life is real though, and it can become a grind for sure. But you know, one of the things that the kind of newer generation is concerned about is whether or not they're going to get a deployment, or whether or not they're going to get in a gunfight. Well, one is careful what you wish for.
Yeah, caveat outdoor, like, my friend. I love,
like, hey man, let's be real. A gunfight is fun. It is. Getting into a troops in contact can be fun. Now it can be sketch too, right? It can be so sketch, and people can get hurt or die. Yeah, for sure. But I'll tell you what, you will never feel an adrenaline rush like that.
Mm.
And it is addictive. It is so addictive.
Well, I mean, it's any near death experience, right? Like mm-hmm. you cheated death. You got into a scenario where it was you or somebody else, and you went home and you ate dinner, and you're going to do it again the next day. And there's something visceral about that win, like that is ingrained into who we are as men. Like whatever trope you want to put on it, it's why we idolize samurai and Vikings and ninjas and spies and dudes that are really good at their craft and all these, these archetypes of maleness is like, we want to be tested and end up winning. Like, and of course it's addictive. Like, and you'll see people chase that too. Like how many of our friends just absolutely ruin their lives, just for one more deployment, dog. Like, man, three or four, close friends, a couple, unfortunately passed away, and then a couple more, really their lives are just in shambles. And it was mm-hmm. It was really that time period of, man, like 100% just functioning alcoholic, never really home, just looking for the next trip. They did not care about anything other than being downrange as much as they possibly could, getting there and like weaseling themselves into extensions on deployments. Like, you've never heard about that ever. Like, going back, dudes doing like short tours and shit, going to different areas and getting away with the, the dwell ratio of nothing,
Just one more mission before going home. And that's fine. Cause I don't begrudge him. Like I get it. I 100% get it. But you would totally see those dudes come back from deployment and functioning alcoholic, but to get that thrill and that adrenaline, maybe they ride a motorcycle or something like that, and they would be hauling ass mm-hmm. everywhere. I mean, just to get that feeling. And I think that's one of the things that we're seeing now. And that's not just our generation or our kind of career fields, right? That's why they have that whole operator syndrome mm-hmm. thing now, because we have adrenal fatigue and all among a whole bunch of other stuff, concussions, TBIs, that whole deal. But man, going back to what I was talking about, that first troops in contact, and you perform and you feel that validation. So you get the adrenaline, but then you feel that validation of like, cause that's what a lot of people wonder. And that's why people are like, dude, mm-hmm. let me get on deployment. Let me get in a fight. Am I going to deploy? Because they need that validation. Everything that I think, how I'm going to act, all this training that I have done, all this assessment and selection that I have done to do this. And I need validation of how I'll actually act when some shit goes down.
Right. Yeah.
And I get it. I relate to it. And
yeah. Cause did I waste my time or not? Am I any good at this or not? Like, should I continue? Like you're that deployment could be another 15 years of your life. Like if that deployment goes well, like that could be like, I want this to be my career. And then I'm going to continue chasing, this life forever. Or it could be, you get back and you're like, nah, F this, I'm out. My deployment sucks. Mm-hmm. It's not what I wanted. I didn't ever get that validation that I felt like I needed. Hey, it's time to look to other places for that validation. I've seen it that way too. So yeah, that first deployment and that first experience is important.
It is. And it really can set the tone for the rest of your career. Not that you can't adjust that, but yeah, you're right. If you come back from an deployment, you sat on your ass, you didn't do anything, and you had a bunch of people who were scared to leave the wire. Like there have been teams that people have been attached to. In fact, I was actually attached to one of them as well. It was an ODA team, and they, before getting there, they had hit a bad IED and one person had died mm-hmm. and they didn't recover from it. The ODA team did not recover. They were, just for lack of a better word, in their feels or whatever, right? Yeah. And get it, man. You lost a brother. Like I'm not discounting that at all, but they were done. And still we were there for months and we didn't leave the wire, I think, but one time, and it was playing it safe because they were too gun shy to go back out.
Yeah.
I mean, and it happens.
It does. And it sucks when you see, you can't blame the unit, like, and you'll see it just absolutely break the unit or break a team. Like I've seen teams take really hard losses like that and just have to be like, all right, well, we got to shuffle it up. Like, we got to get some new personnel in, and, you know, not necessarily leadership. It's not punitive. It's, it's more like, hey, let's get you some different experiences. Like, let's get some different experience level, you know, dudes back here on this team, and let's find a way to move forward. Cause it does suck. And like, once you feel like you lose that momentum too, like, you totally get why somebody would be gun shy. You 100% get it. You're like, well, yeah, no shit. That's why you're being a little bit more hesitant. So,
yeah. You experience an IED and seeing, you know, treating your buddy. Yeah. That you can absolutely see why that's, you're going to be gun shy.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'm glad that you started off with caveat emptor, buyer beware, on what it is that you're wishing for there. Because again, I think for all of the fun in GWAT, cause GWAT, again, it was fun, you know, narrowly escaping a hairy situation with your life and being able to kind of like bullshit about it later, not to aggrandize yourself, but just to be like, bro, that was freaking nuts. You know, oh, I had a cutaway at night and I grabbed my O2 hose and not my handle and like was tumbling and I got out of it. Like even stuff like that, we were like, oh man, I almost screwed that one up, but I didn't. It was close. You're like, okay, well, that's, you know, that's fun, right? I don't know if I would wish that on the next generation, because a lot of that was tied to, man, warfare and, you know, multiple different continents of destruction. And, you know, some of my saddest times I've been on deployment, I've just been like looking out over things and just feeling, man, is this real life? This could be the moon, you know, just completely decimated, like cityscapes, you know, like rolling blackouts, like the middle of the night in Iraq, just being under nods. Like, I distinctly remember like looking around and just being like, I feel like I'm on a different planet.
Yeah.
It did not feel like I was on Earth at all. It just felt I was just somewhere else. It was crazy. But
yeah, it's, there is a, it is some of these places are like a hellscape, just because there's been so much demolition from ordnance going off, or, you know, like it's sad to see, because there was a lot of historical stuff in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Right. And we were very
civilization, baby.
Yeah. So we, you know, there were plenty, just like Afghanistan, there were no strike areas that we could not hit no matter what. And that's fine. You know, respect that. But it was sad to see the places that we kept pristine in, you know, on purpose, because we wanted to maintain history and legacy. And for the, what was the civil, is it, it wasn't Mesopotamian. Boy, I'm going to sound like an idiot. Maybe it was.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah. So, but then to see ISIS roll in and destroy all that history.
Yeah.
That was, you know,
the first thing they did, destroy the history. That's how you debase a culture. Tell them that their history is not what they thought it was, or erase it completely.
Yep. Huh. But, yeah. Anyway, going back to it, I fully get the validation and I understand it. And even now, I know how I'll act in a situation, because I've already been tested and all that kind of stuff. But I still, as it's been a little while, I still go, have I gotten rusty? Have I?
Right. Oh yeah.
Like, how will I act? And that validation, I hate to tell you, maybe it's just me and my own insecurities, but you will always wonder, how am I going to act?
Yeah.
And you start thinking of situations like, I don't know about you, but I always sitting here going like, all right, well, so, you know, I'm always, when I would go to a restaurant and they see this at a table, it's like, I am facing the door.
It's Jason Bourne.
Oh my God. Like, it's just, and I'm PG not trying, I'm not trying to say that to sound like, yeah, I'm always, but it's just a habit.
And it's a habit that you build in. You can't help but look around. And it is a cringy thing to be like, oh, I know where every exit is. The guy at the bar is left-handed.
I don't.
Yeah, right. It's not that. But you want to look around and be like, okay, yeah, I don't know. You know why? Scary shit happens all the time. People burst into gyms with ARs.
Yeah.
Like, shit happens. Like, if you want to, like, live in the white, just be like, just chill out with your day. Like, you can do that, but I think there's a middle ground too. You don't have to be Jason Bourne everywhere you go, wearing your 5'11 pants, fucking nine line. These pants have tourniquets in them.
Yeah, those are going to work real well.
Tight, bro. I love those pants too. By the way, that is a 100. That is something that Come Sit and Relax would wear, is pants with tourniquets in it. I guarantee. Come Sit and
Relax.
Okay.
Or shelves, whatever. Or shelves would definitely wear it.
He's got those on right now. That booty is shelves. Shelves driving a dump truck. I don't know if y'all know this, but shelves, dumpy little booty. Just absolute.
And you know, you know what's in 18 Disasters kit? Tampons.
Come on.
So he can plug holes with tampons. Part
of this, guys. I don't want, for legal reasons, I didn't say any of that. Like, that is not my, you take it up with peaches.
I also gotta say, like, if we could just do away with assault weapons, then
I've had it. What are you doing? Why? You're pushing me. Why are you pushing me? I feel like this episode was great. We kind of like stayed to it. Like, I don't need to rant and rave. It's 7:52. I'm going to go. I got baby snuggles right out this door. I'm trying to keep everything nice and level.
Oh, okay. I was trying to get that heart rate going.
trying to get you
excited.
Anti-2A. You son of a bitch. Shall not be infringed, brother. That is it. You're pushing me. Chris D'Elia has a great bit where he talks about getting pushed further and further right, and it's a great talk about just being, you know, becoming more conservative. If you're young and liberal, you don't have a brain. If you're old and conservative, you don't have a heart. You know, it's kind of like that thing. But you know, that's kind of like the thing. As you grow up, you get more conservative. He's like, and I can't help it, but people are pushing me right. They're pushing me. Like, he starts transforming. He's like, you're wrong. Maybe we should tamp illegal immigration. Hilarious.
Yeah, that's right, brother.
Well, I already talked about it. I can't wait to go to my absolute favorite. Shout out to my favorite San Antonio restaurant. I know these guys are big listeners of the podcast. They have to be, because I assume everybody is in San Antonio. That's what our demographics would lead me to believe. A lot of people in San Antonio listen to the podcast. That's the joke. Anyway, there is a place called the Angry Elephant. It's up in, I think it's in Stone Oak is technically the area name, but it's right by my boy's house. Fantastic. I walked into that place, had no idea that it was a Republican bar. I started looking around. I'm like, man, that's a big ass picture of Ronald Reagan. Man, wait a second. And I started looking around and I'm like, man, there's a lot of red, white, and blue up in this piece. And then I look over and it's like, dun, dun, dun. And they have shirts and it's Donald Trump's mugshot. And it says wanted for president 2024. And I was like, excuse me, madam, give me that shirt immediately and give it to me in two colors.
Sir, they're not for sale.
I didn't ask if they were for sale. You tell me if this is winding up in the paper, lady, but I'm getting that shirt and I'm leaving here with it. So now if we're going to exchange money over this tight, I would prefer that. But if not, I'm taking that shirt with me. Now you tell me what I got to do. I'll go to an ATM. I'll leave $40 cash on this table right now. I'm going to grab that shirt. But anyway, so it was great, but it's 100%. It's like a, you know, a Republican right wing bar. It's fantastic. I can't wait.
Texas, Florida. There's only a few places you could probably get away with that, and it be
that's where
successful.
You're wrong, my dude. That's where you're wrong. I think that so you look at those things and they pop up. Like, there's little corners of places. Vegas, it'd be successful in Vegas.
Oh well, yeah. Yeah. The suburb. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Shout out Northwest Vegas. What up?
Shout out Centennial Hills. Coming Aliante.
Soon. Hey, Aliante. All my people in Aliante. Shout out to the nature park. I love your dinosaurs. You can dig up the bones. My son touched a duck there once. That's a true story. That actually was a true story. I was deployed to Iraq, and I distinctly remember this for two reasons. Number one, it was at the time where you would call home, but you had calling cards.
Yeah.
And then like we were doing I was a task force deployment. So we got hooked up, but they would just, I had this stack of cards that I would use to like call home. Right. So I remember, distinctly, you know, we had our own like little phone booth thing, but it was out of plywood. It was just like a little like booth that they built so you could call home. But I call home. I distinctly remember calling home from this, and, you know, my partner at the time was like, oh yeah, your son touched a duck today at the nature park. And I was like, what? And then she was like, yeah, he touched a duck at the nature park. And I was like, no, how? And she was like, cause I like, those ducks are sensitized to people. Like there's this specific park that we're talking about in Vegas, and those ducks are around people all the time. Right. It's not like they do not like, and they're all skittish. Like you cannot get close to them. They all run around with their little duck feet and they all run away. So I'm like, no way. Cause he's a toddler. Like he's a little kid. So she was like, I'll just let him tell you. So he is, no kidding, 3 years old. I was like, hey, did you touch a duck today? He goes, yeah. And I was like, how'd you
touch a duck? What about it?
I was like, how'd you touch a duck? He was like, I sneakily snuck up on it and I touched its butt. And I was like, did you really? My partner gets back on the phone. I was like, did that really happen? She was like, exactly how he said it. You saw him lock in on this duck that wasn't paying attention. He snuck over to it, bent down and just poked its butt. And the duck freaked out and flew away. And he was so proud of himself. He was like, yeah, sneakily snuck up on a duck and that touched its butt and flew away.
No biggie.
No biggie. Out here touching ducks, dog. But it's a happy and a sad one because I was deployed. So I didn't get to see that. I didn't get to experience that with my son. However, it was you know, in the middle of Iraq. And so that was, man, that had to be 2010. Yeah.
Good times.
Good man. Times.
Yeah. Good times.
Anyway.
I don't know what else I could cover about deployments. There's so, I mean, one, there's so much, but also it's one of those things that you can't narrow it down because there's so much. It's yeah. just as it comes to you. I mean, you know, if you are going to do one of those deployment lines, you know, bring a hacky sack.
Yeah, you can drag. You'll get issued one when you graduate the schoolhouse.
At the PJ Kirtland. Schoolhouse, yeah, not Kirtland. The controller schoolhouse.
Not the controller schoolhouse. No, no, no. Controllers. No,
you get issued tattoos and Harleys.
Yeah, brother. And your leather jacket, you'll be patched in later.
And Copenhagen.
And hey, man.
Or Zins now.
All rather. The boys is eating Zins now. Yeah. Yeah. Eating Zins now. So all this shit. Yeah. Zins are the new hotness. I never got on that. But every friend I have likes Zins. Every single one. I was like, how did I miss this whole train? Where
I'm glad I did.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. I'm not poo-pooing it either. Guys love them. They're like, dude, these are awesome. It's just like pure energy and it's great. And there's none of the bad, you know, other crap in it. I'm like, tight, man. I believe the hype. Good for you. I'm out here. No thanks.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
If I took even the small milligram of those, I would be on the floor right now.
I think you would be like a Jack Russell Terrier on coke. You would just be pinging off the walls.
I tried dip one time in high school. I know it's a little bit different, but and it ruined my night. Ruined my night. Like for people out there,
God, this story is gonna just absolutely shock people that don't know you very well. But you just said I tried dip one time in high school and it ruined my night.
Dude, so you know this. I don't drink. I've been drunk twice.
Yeah.
Right. Don't drink. I don't smoke. Don't dip. My body is a temple.
I've seen what you eat, you liar.
Oh, when it comes to food, like, bro. Man, I have got a sweet tooth. Oh, let me tell you,
he does.
But
the sugar, this
yeah.
guy.
So, yeah, throw in some dip. It was the good old Kodiak. Bro, I was on my ass, head out the window, just.
I dipped
about
for
5 minutes in.
I dipped for a long time. I dipped for like 10 years before I got in. And then, like an idiot, I stopped when I cross-trained So I dipped on and off. I didn't dip the first time that I was in Indoc. I had one or two. And then I decided to use the second time to quit. And that was like, I'd quit finally in my pipeline. Like finally, by the time I graduated, I'd quit dipping, but I dipped for like 10 years and I dipped Kodiak of all things. Just absolute terrible habit.
Garbage.
What a disgusting habit. What a garbage thing to do with your life that I did for so long.
I will say with the Zins though now, you're not emptying out trash and there's a dip. Like you're not doing that now.
There's nothing where that I did have a pet peeve about dip bottles, like half full dip bottles or dip cups of people. Oh man, the worst. How do you do that? You look back and you just think, why?
Yeah.
Well, good. I'm glad you tried it the one time and that you didn't like it. And then we all learned something about people. Well, I didn't learn it. I knew that about you.
Yeah, I got a NC-17 story about when I got drunk one time, but we can't say that on here.
Not with that attitude, we can't.
Well, okay.
It's the weakest
wedding.
Convincing job that I've ever done in my entire life.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you can tell it. You're like, okay, yeah. you convinced me.
Okay.
Didn't take much.
I'll just No, because it involves somebody else, and I don't want to embarrass them.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I can tell this one. No, nope, nope, nope. I'm not going to do it.
Okay. No. All right.
Because then I would have the build up, and then the end would just be like, oh, well, boy, that's awkward.
We should end the episode right here.
Yeah.
Because that would be
not in an episode until we make sure that everybody checks out onesready.com.
Oh,
if
yeah.
you need some Attack League gear, you can buy it all there. Discount is already built in. And then check out 18alphafitness.com. Get yourself a training plan. Kevin Edgerton, he has been in the game and he's got experience since he was an 18 alpha, i.e., a Green Beret officer. So, and he was part of development after he left the Army. And he was part of the ANS and the SWIC pipeline. I guess at the time it was probably prep, but yeah, he does all his own planning and all training plans and all that kind of good stuff. So that code is the number one and ready. And I think you were doing some of his stuff as well.
I did crush it. Kev got me the kettlebell program, and then essentially I just tailored it exactly to what I have. Like, he has a questionnaire on intake and you go into the app. The app is awesome. Super easy. You can chat directly with Kevin on there, and he often does. He often checks in on workouts, whatever. But felt great after the kettlebell for BJJ program. Man, felt really, really good. So yeah. Code one ready over the number one ready, no space over there at 18 Alpha Fitness. You can find him through our site at onesready.com.
He's got swag on our site too, actually.
All right.
Oh, no yeah. biggie.
No big no deal. Deal. One stop shop, onesready.com.
That's the whole point, trying to make it easier on all you folks out there. So please like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, leave us a review. You guys know already, we already do read the comments, we read your DMs, we respond. Sometimes it takes a little while because, you know, we're busy or traveling or something like that, but, you know, we try and get back to you. Definitely easier to hit us in the DMs or on the comments than an email. We have definitely not gotten great at email response for sure, just because the amount of emails in. So we're mm-hmm. answering emails, we're answering DMs and comments. If you had to choose, go with a DM or yeah. a comment.
A DM is the way to go.
Yeah. But a lot of times DMs, the question you're asking is something that somebody else is wanting to know too.
Mm-hmm. So hit the Discord up. That's your own problem. Discord. Go from there.
Yeah. And if you need that link, you can look for it, but we'll provide it. Yeah, leave
if
a comment
that link,
for Discord.
You can go F yourself. That's basically what Peter said. So
no.
Have a good day.
All right. Have a good one, dude.
Later.
Later.